agenda item D, which is commercial whale watching. I think everybody knows that we have postponed the decision on the non-lethal pursuit training program. I understand that we have a short presentation on commercial whale watching. Not exactly sure who's doing that, Nate or Julie Watson.
Hi, folks. Can you hear me okay and see my screen?
Yes, we can. Yes.
Thank you. All right, my goal here today, hi everyone, thank you, Madam Vice Chair. My goal today is to just very quickly reorient you. You've been talking and thinking about this a lot recently, and I just wanted to give you a couple updates and a couple reminders since your last meeting, which was a workshop earlier this week. And then really, again, we're just turning this over to you for discussion and potentially a decision today. So as a reminder, this has been over a year-long process with an advisory committee, a science panel, intergovernmental coordination group, and quite a lot of moving pieces. We did a full SEPA environmental impact statement, which is finalized and available online now. And today we are at the date of your scheduled decision. What's in our direction from the legislature, codified in the RCW, is that we must adopt rules for holders of a commercial whale watching license, which was established also at the same time in the same bill, for the viewing of southern resident orca whales in the inland waters of Washington. And our goal was to do that by January 1. The RCW specified specifically two things to keep in mind as you're deliberating on rules to adopt. The rules must be designed to reduce the daily and cumulative impacts on SRKW and consider the economic viability of license holders. And just as a reminder, we had the science panel working to end the SEPA EIS process to assess those daily and cumulative impacts and what the science says we should do on that side. And we commissioned two economic reports on the economic viability side. There was an economic viability analysis, as well as a small business economic impact statement. The legislation also gave us several types of rules to consider, and those match up pretty well with the types of restrictions we've proposed. In this process, the department really focused on that core motive to reduce daily and cumulative impacts and consider economic viability. Within that, we were also trying to make sure the rules would be implementable, enforceable, measurable, and able to be adaptively managed. We know that there's still uncertainty in the science, and there's a lot to learn here. This is a new program, new licensing system, and we were directed to report back to the legislature every 2 years in 2022, 24, and 26 about how the new regulations are going. So both the licensing system, the rules that you have the option to adopt today, how those are being implemented, their effectiveness, et cetera, and the broader vessel regulations that apply to all boats, which changed the distance and speed restrictions in 2019. So the department intends to measure and adaptively manage and suggest recommendations based on what we learn. And from what I understand from Nate's presentation earlier, we do have that funding still viable in the governor's proposed budget. So I wanted to pause again at the conservation need because we were told to use the best available science, and we worked with the Washington State Academy of Sciences. They put together a panel, independent science panel. That panel held two workshops, a stakeholder workshop and a scientist workshop, and they sequentially answered a lot of questions that came from advisory committee members, both from industry and from the NGO community. They provided a lot of feedback. Ultimately, they produced a report. What I have here on the page are pieces of that report. And I talked a little bit when we met earlier this week about prey availability and the work we're doing there. And we did receive quite a few comments that emphasized the need to focus on prey availability. And I wanted to point out this piece in the science that says that increasing prey availability by 15% and decreasing vessel noise by 50% is expected to recover the population of SRKW more effectively than increasing prey by 30% alone. So I just wanted to emphasize that the science suggests that these factors really are interrelated, and we need to make movement in both if we want to see recovery of the SRKW population. We also talked a little bit earlier this week, and I wanted to bring up again that the legislation specifically told us to focus on impacts from commercial whale watching, and there are different pieces of the science that add different color to understanding that impact. So while it's a small percent of the overall soundscape, less than 1% in the Salish Sea, the number of boats around southern resident killer whales at any one time is more than half of those boats are commercial whale watch boats. And modeling suggests that around a third of the lost foraging time per day for SRKW comes from commercial whale watch vessels. And that really leads me also to emphasize that the behavioral changes are noticed within distances beyond the current 2019 restrictions. So there's uncertainty in the science in that there haven't been a lot of studies done since 2019 to understand the effects of the new regulations. However, we specifically asked the science panel to weigh in on which of the studies done before 2019 still hold and are still applicable today. And because several of those studies were done at distances beyond what is currently included as the legal framework, there are still likely impacts to SRKW, even by vessels that are following the new regulations. One other piece is that the effective vessel presence increases with vessel numbers, particularly for three or more vessels. So a lower number of vessels would lead to lower levels of disturbance. And as you guys have emphasized, we only are controlling one piece of the puzzle in this rulemaking. That was what we were given authority to do. And so reducing the number of commercial whale watch boats around SRKW does not necessarily mean that there will be less than three boats overall in the vicinity of SRKW. It's just the piece, the lever that we have in this rulemaking process. There was discussion at your last meeting, I'm going to just pull these up, about what else is going on in the broader vessel world. And so I don't expect you to read this. It's kind of just here as a resource. There's a lot happening. So you have everything from action being taken in the shipping world on both the Canadian side. They have a program called ECHO. There's a pilot perspective program called Quiet Sound here that works under the Governor's Maritime Blue Initiative. We have even more recently, Canada started discussions about feasibility of modifying the traffic lanes in the strait in order to better protect key foraging areas. And the Whale Report Alert System is a really key piece of that overall system as well, making sure that boats can modify their courses, those large shipping containers and the ferries can modify their courses or stop and wait based on actual whale presence information. There's also a bunch of things going on in the private boater education and enforcement piece. Our own enforcement officers are out there doing their part of this, but there's also the Be Whale Wise guidelines. That's a transboundary partnership. As was mentioned in your last meeting, you've got the Boaters Association and the boat shows all having booths for Be Whale Wise. We had this year, because there were not in-person boat shows, I participated in one of their online webinars instead. And so there's a lot of work being done to do that outreach. Education on SRKW regulations was included with the mandatory boater education curriculum for state parks, and it was sent out to all license holders. So really there's a lot of different ways that we're trying to reach recreational boaters. And Canada has invested more on that side as well. We talked about that a little bit at your last meeting. And finally, the Washington State Ferry System has done a big assessment and is working on an electrification plan to improve their underwater noise impacts, because that is one of those larger impacts on the underwater soundscape overall. So I just wanted to emphasize that our intention with this rulemaking is not to place the sole burden of reducing underwater noise on commercial whale watch operators. It's to try to hit this cumulative target combined with the prey availability work, combined with the contaminants work, to give the SRKW a chance. The population is at such a state that a lot of the calves are not surviving to adulthood. So we have two new calves this year. That gives us hope. We need to make sure that they survive. The sex ratio of calves has been skewed towards male, and there are very few breeding members of the population left. So even though there are currently 74 SRKW, the situation is pretty dire, and so we're trying to make drastic or immediate, at least, changes in a lot of different areas. Okay. So we had these three things in mind, trying to focus on giving industry or preserving some industry opportunity and respecting what we've heard from the industry about the things that they care about on the water, both from having access to USRKW during different times of the year and learning more about their, what they call their sentinel role, enforceability, and making sure that the rules were simple and our enforcement officers could make sure that they were being complied by or not was a big piece. And on the conservation side, we really relied on our wildlife diversity staff. And they really emphasized that changing when days and times commercial whale watch operators could be near SRKW, it's really variable in that we don't know whether the whales will be present or not to achieve those benefits. So they were really looking to be precautionary, and that 80 to 90% reduction number was meant to reduce available hours for commercial whale watching in trying to preserve uninterrupted foraging time for SRKW. And I can answer that with more depth if you want to go into that later. I wanted to bring up, because of course we are really considering the economic viability piece in all of these deliberations, it is not expected that limiting viewing of SRKW alone, even eliminating viewing of SRKW, will be a viability threat to the industry because of the other substitute viewing opportunities, and because currently viewing SRKW happens only on about 10% of tours. And the other piece that might have an economic impact is the kayak launch restriction. However, given that there's relatively infrequent presence of SRKW, it should not happen frequently that the kayak tours need to move to another location. I wanted to bring up again, we talked about the public feedback received, and you have the full report of all of the public comments, and I know you guys have been receiving quite a few letters directed to you, and so I appreciate your time and emotional investment into that. I know there are very strong feelings on a very broad spectrum, as we talked about before, but ranging from promoting a complete suspension to promoting the status quo and saying we shouldn't focus our energy on this at all, and then a full range in the middle. So I think you guys have experienced that now, and you also heard quite a bit from the members of the public at your hearing on December 4th. We also received intergovernmental comments. I emphasized the Port of Friday Harbor, Samish Indian Nation, and Mayor Will Hall provided comments since my presentation on, or that were included in my last presentation that weren't available on December 4th. We have a suite of recommended adjustments. Many of these are revisions to make the rules more clear. The full list was in your December 4th package. And we are recommending that in your motion language, you adopt these recommended adjustments that will make the rules more clear, but you could always choose to adopt or to not adopt any of those specific recommended adjustments. Most notably, the option A modification, we proposed changing that to daily viewing in option A, and you could choose to not adopt that recommended adjustment and leave it at the 4 days per week as it was filed. Very quickly, here are some of the variables in the rules. We discussed these the other day, as well as the public feedback received on those. This is here mostly for reference if you want to come back and talk about any of these. We also talked about the difference between options A and option B, and or really a lot of our conversation has focused on that piece. This is a calendar that just shows you the recommended adjustment in option A and the number of boats difference between option A and option B. I included this graph because I thought it would be helpful. This shows that broad spectrum of options A and options B, those broad bookends that you discussed the other day, as well as several of those gradients in between that we heard in quite a few public comments. And I have two proposals on there that came from the advisory committee that was not able to reach consensus, but did come up with their best possible compromise scenarios.
So, Julie, can we pause just for a second? It looks like Commissioner Kehoe has a question.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Co-Chair. So, Julie, getting back to the proposed adjustments, I understand that option A now staff is recommending, instead of viewing just 4 days, increasing that to daily. So, I'm curious to hear kind of what the staff's rationale for that adjustment. Kind of a new development. I don't recall hearing that or discussing it. So I think that needs a little bit of attention. So thank you.
Sure. Thank you, Commissioner and Madam Co-Chair. I apologize if I didn't make this clear on December 4th, but we initially conceptualized of option A as daily opportunity with those 2 2-hour periods and a limit of 3 boats for 3 months. And when we talked to members of industry and we got public feedback on a pre-filed draft that looked more like that, we heard from industry that they wanted that opportunity to be spread out throughout the year. And so our idea was to create an option B that pulled some of those days from those 3 months and spread them out into that shoulder season. When we filed option A, it included that reduced version. And so the proposed recommended adjustment here would just be to take it back closer to what we'd intended, which was for those to be more equivalent. So the 3 months of daily viewing versus the 7 months, but more spread out viewing, not daily viewing. And we have received, we put that forward because we wanted to match what we had initially conceptualized. We have heard quite a lot of public comment that likes option A as filed. I can go back to the public comment numbers if that's helpful.
No, and thank you, Julie. That did refresh my recollection on that. Late breaking development. So thanks for that.
Thanks, Bob. I see we have another question, but I can't see who it's from.
It's from me.
Go ahead, Commissioner Smith.
Julie, were you going to come to it, or was option A? Are there two options with option A, the 1 boat and the 3 boat, or is that still coming in your discussion?
Thank you, Commissioner. I'll jump to that now. So we have draft motion language for you, and I want to emphasize that you are, of course, not at all limited to the draft motion language we wrote up. We included option A as filed, but with the recommended adjustments to daily viewing. Option A as filed, but minus that adjustment to daily viewing, so it would keep it closer to as filed. Option B, and then we included, because it was recommended at your workshop earlier this week, an option A with the 4-day-a-week viewing and with a limit of 1 boat instead of 3. So we included that motion language here for you as well. The other thing I wanted to mention is that we also drafted a policy statement for the commission. That was another outcome of the meeting on Tuesday, and you have that to consider as well. So if there was a second motion that folks wanted to make about a policy statement, or if you wanted to revise that policy statement and work on that, that's available to you as well. So those were kind of those two things, the option A with 1 boat 4 days a week and the policy statement, were the two things we produced as an outcome of your workshop earlier this week.
Well, thanks, Julie. So this is a bit complicated, but I'm interested in whether there are commissioners with comments or a motion to make, and I see Commissioner Kehoe's hand is up.
Yes, Madam Chair. I am prepared to make a motion, but would defer to you as taking comments at this time.
Well, let's just see. I mean, we are ready to move forward on this. Is there anybody who wants to speak? Yes, there is. Again, I can't see who, because the screen's up, I can't see who it is. So could you please just announce yourself?
Yeah, it's Commissioner McIsaac.
Commissioner McIsaac, welcome aboard.
Yes, thank you, Madam Vice Chair. I apologize for being a little bit late. I don't have a comment. I have a question. I just want to be sure on Commissioner Kehoe's days per week questioning a moment ago, and I wondered if the staff could put back up that calendar that shows option A and option B, just so I'm clear on where there is 7 day a week viewing and where there's not. So I think it's slide 15 or, yeah, 14. There it is. Okay. So under option A and option B during July, August, and September, when I look at this, I don't see 7 day a week viewing. Is that the accurate way to look at this?
Thank you, Commissioner. I'm sorry. It's because you have both as an option. The as filed version of option A has the 4 day a week viewing, which is what you see here. We have a recommended adjustments available for you in your packages that would make an option A with daily viewing possible. And of course, that's one of many possibilities you have available to you.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Is there any further discussion before we get to a motion? I see Commissioner Kehoe's hand is up.
No, yeah, Madam Chair, it's just, it's up. I am ready to make a motion, but again, I'll wait.
Okay, Bob, you're going to have to get closer to your computer while you're making the motion. Okay, well, I don't see any other hands up, so go for it.
Okay, so I have turned off my video and I'm speaking very closely to the computer, so apologize for technical difficulties on my end. Let me know if you can't hear me. So just so you know, I am I'm moving for option A with three vessels. So I move to approve WAC chapter 220-460 that is included in option A with all proposed adjustments presented by staff in commission materials for the December 4 meeting.
So, Bob, can I just clarify, you are going for option A with 4 days viewing or all days viewing?
Well, yeah, Madam Chair, with all proposed adjustments, that's the 7 day viewing.
Okay, three vessels, 7 days. Commissioner Anderson's hand is up.
That was my question too. I wasn't sure whether it was 4 days or 7.
Commissioner McIsaac.
I would second for discussion.
Thanks. It's been moved and seconded that we adopt option A with all adjustments, meaning three vessels and 7 days on the water. Discussion. Commissioner McIsaac.
I just would be interested in the maker of the motion having a chance to speak to the motion.
Yeah.
Commissioner Kehoe.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner McIsaac and Madam Vice Chair. Let me grab my notes here. I know I was the one who, in our last meeting, talked about a variation of option A with 3-1 instead of three votes going down to one vessel. After kind of thinking about it, sleeping about it, sleeping on it, I do think the three vessels is the way to go. As far as the 7 days, that my understanding, and I think Julie confirmed it, that was the initial intent of option A, and there was a little error in posting it. But you know, I'm confident that all of the folks that were engaged with the department in coming up with these proposals knew that it was in fact 7 days a week. So getting back to the 3 versus 1, in hearing staff's presentation, using these 3 vessels gets us to the targeted noise reduction. So logically you would think that, if you reduced it to from 3 to 1, that perhaps it would provide more benefit. But as Dr. Watson pointed out, the science is a little uncertain when you get down to that kind of degree of difference. And another reason why I prefer the 3 vessels under option A over option the alternative of just going to 1 vessel, and that is, in my experience, it's difficult to once you have restrictions in place, it's difficult to enhance those restrictions or loosen those restrictions. But you know, given that this is these rules are going to be evaluated periodically by the department in legislative reports, as well as briefing to the commissions, I'm comfortable in just keeping it at 3 for now. But you know, certainly the commission can react and make adjustments and lower that number of vessels if necessary. It's much easier than to add restrictions as opposed to removing them at a later point. So I think 3 is a 3 vessels is a good starting point. And then lastly, in my opinion, option A is consistent with the spirit in the legislative intent of Senate Bill 5577. So for those reasons, Madam Vice Chair, I made the motion and am willing to move forward with it, and interested to hear comments from the other commissioners. Thank you.
Well, I think we have 3 commissioners who would like to comment. That would be Smith, Anderson, and Carpenter. Sure. Chair Carpenter, would you like to go ahead or
go ahead? Let the other gentleman go ahead. I think that would be fine.
Okay, Commissioner Smith.
Thank you. I agree with most of my colleagues, Commissioner Keogh's points. However, I think I'm going to side more on the precautionary view right now, and I would support with 1 vote, not 3 votes. You've all read a lot of the information out there, so I'm not going to reiterate all of that. But I think right now we have to be more cautious and review this in a year and do that. I mean, I think we have to have a year of some good science and data collection out there in terms of noise, but I would support the one option A with 1 vote.
Commissioner Anderson.
Yes. I support option A. I think, along with Dr. Smith, I think a more precautionary approach is warranted. I don't know if we have all the information that we would like, but I think the precautionary approach makes sense to me. So that's where I'm leaning.
Commissioner Linville.
I can support this a little bit holding my nose. The three vessels, I agree with. I would support the motion. I really wish we had some data on, how the distances have, worked out before we pile on more restrictions. Having said that, this population is very clearly in trouble. And so that's why I can't support the motion, as stated by Commissioner Kehoe. I would also like to say one thing that I didn't get an option, to say is, I'll support the motion as presented.
Are you sure, Molly? Keep going if you want.
No, it's okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, Commissioner Carpenter.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. This is a very, very difficult issue to sort out and to fully understand and grasp all the comments we got from the public, pro, con, and neutral, and certainly from staff. And I certainly don't disagree with being as precautionary as some people might suggest. Having some familiarity with the whales and the geography and so on, I do support Commissioner Keogh's motion as he laid it out. It's well thought out. We don't have the ability, we don't have the science currently on hand to know exactly what the difference is between 1, 3, or 14. I mean, hypothetically, we can guess, but I think Commissioner Kehoe's motion, seconded by Commissioner McIsaac, was well thought out, and I will support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Commissioners McIsaac and Thorburn, I don't have the order right, so let's go with Commissioner McIsaac and then Commissioner Thorburn.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. And thanks to Commissioner Kehoe for putting the motion out there. Let me say one thing about economics, and then I'll offer a perspective on how precautionary this might be. Let me also say that after whatever motion passes, I would appreciate some discussion a little bit on what the statement that might go out right alongside whatever does pass. Because I think there's a few more features beyond licensing that and these immediate regulations that we ought to take into consideration. I think I agree with the remarks we've heard before, in particular Commissioner Smith, who's spent a lot of time on this, when he says that I think in his words, we need to give these whales a break. We need a different situation here with regard to the noise. And so that's what I'm going to lead off with. I'll come back to it. With regard to economics, I know that what we've had in front of us says that for economic viability purposes, that it's not a major consideration. I think that economic impacts are different than economic viability and whether or not the commercial whale watchers will still make a profit. And it strikes me that the economic impacts, considering AIS licenses and the rest, might be a little stronger than maybe what, when I look at the testimony in particular, than what's being characterized in the analysis. And I think it gets down to this economic viability definition. We're supposed to consider economics in this, and so I have thought a little bit about that. With regard to being a little more precautionary, in three vessels versus one, or 7 days a week versus 4 days a week, when I think about both of those, I think about them in tandem. And if I was leaning toward anything more that might do something a little bit more to give the whales a break, I might look toward the days per week. I think the three vessel situation is one worth starting with. But if I wanted to think about doing more, I might look at the days per week. Later, when we talk about what might go out along with this, there was a question of whether the Sentinel role or the Magnet role was really the matter in play here, and the science cannot determine that right now. If there were some 7-day-a-week periods and some 4-day-a-week periods and some 7-day-a-week periods and some 4-day-a-week periods, you might have a comparison there upon which to base some sort of a study design. That gets pretty complicated, but one twist of this would not be to either go 7 days a week or 4 days a week, but perhaps some modification with some 4 days a week in there. So those are my thoughts. I can support the motion as stated, but as I listen to the rest of the commissioners debate this, I just wanted to put my thoughts forward.
Thank you, Commissioner McIsaac. Commissioner Thorburn.
I'm going to support the motion. I particularly the point that Commissioner Kehoe made and that Julie presented to us again. As the proposal was fashioned using consultation with staff and the advisory groups, the staff came up with a target for reduction, and it's noise reduction, recognizing that there's a need to strike the balance between the conservation need as well as the economic questions that are raised and the viability of the industry. And this was the original proposal to achieve that target. So, and then the importance of adaptive management being built into what we're adopting, recognizing the limitations of the current information that we have, and the ability that we're going to have with monitoring to collect further information. So for those reasons, I support the motion.
Thanks, Commissioner Thorburn. Commissioner Graybill.
Thank you. Yes, I'm pretty much going to echo what Commissioner Thornburn just said very, very concisely. I was encouraged to hear Commissioners Kehoe's correction to go to 3 when at our last meeting he was talking about 1, and I really appreciate his deliberations and can support his motion of 3 votes and as presented by staff. Thank you.
Dr. Watson.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. I just wanted to make a small correction, but one that's important from my conversations with industry. When we're trying to offer that targeted reduction, it's reduction in the industry's opportunity to view SRKW at closer than a half nautical mile. We can't guarantee that that will offer 80 to 90% noise reduction received by the whales, in part because that doesn't factor in the other boats, and in part because we don't know when the whales will or won't be present. And so we're being precautionary in limiting the opportunity with hopes that that conveys benefits to the whales, and we're hoping to learn more through the adaptive management. Thank you.
Thank you for your clarification and for trying to make this as uncomplicated as possible. You're doing a wonderful job at that. Are there other commissioners that feel the need to weigh in here? Well, from my perspective, we are rarely presented with this stark of a conservation challenge, which does lead toward, in my mind, taking possibly more stringent alternatives than we would currently take. And so whether it's 3 vessels or more days, I would also like a bit more of a more conservative version of option A. But with all of this, we have to figure out, in terms of a parliamentary process, we have a seconded motion on the table. We have 2 commissioners who would like to go to a different version of that same option A. We have one who would like to change one component of that option A, which is Commissioner McIsaac. And then we have me. And whichever we do of any of that, we need a motion. And we would need a motion, I believe, to amend the current motion. I hope Joe's on here. Joe, if I'm getting any of this wrong, please break in. But my question for right now is whether we have a motion to amend the motion that's on the table. I see a couple of hands are coming up. Commissioner Anderson.
Yes. I indicated where I was at with regard to my preference. I value the spirit of and the substance of comedy here. That's comedy, not comedy, but comedy.
With a D or a T?
The T. And we have enough comedy at times, but this is the important thing here is to me is that we feel like we are together and that we've thought this through. And so I can support the motion. I was articulating my my sense that what we need to do. I can also add. So.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Anderson. That was fairly clear. Commissioner Smith's hand is up.
Yeah, I'm not. So, Commissioner Anderson, you're saying you support the motion as put forth by Commissioner Keough?
I am willing to support that, yes.
Okay. I still, and I've been in many of these tight votes or votes on the commission over time. My conscience dictates that, I would like more restrictions, for all the reasons put forward, both from the science and the timing. As I said, these critters are in trouble. But I think it's also, so that's my position and I think it's well stated, but viewing the lineup of the cards on the table here, I think it's also important for the commission to speak as one. So noting my internal and conscientious objections to some of this, I will support the motion in hopes that we can gather this data over the next year that is necessary. And I understand the economic viability issue always. That's been in the front of our discussions on every issue. But there's also the viability of the critter there. And so just seeing how the vote would turn out for the good of the all, I will support the motion. But as Molly said, I'm holding my nose.
Is there any further discussion on this motion, which has been seconded? My only bit of discussion is that this is a we are making some gut-wrenching decisions in this meeting, and what I appreciate is something that Molly brought up a while ago, is that we do not have the opportunity to talk in person or to get together or to be anywhere near each other. And given that, it would be easy for our commission to fragment and to divide into camps and to disregard the comity that Commissioner Anderson was talking about. That is an important component of the jobs that we have, not just for this issue, but for other issues as well. And so I appreciate the nose holding that's happening here. And I think we all understand that everybody wants to do what we can to save the southern resident killer whales. So I will go along with the motion as well in that spirit. But I also don't think it's going far enough. But I don't think we should have a divided vote on this. I don't think it would help at all. I see Commissioner Thorburn's hand is up. Go ahead, Kim.
Thank you. Thanks. I'm a little surprised by this discussion, I guess, to use the word. We have a process that we take issues and discuss them, and we do have disagreements. I'm curious why we are thinking that we need consensus. If people are uncomfortable with this, vote against it. The process that we use is the commission decision is the majority. And it's after the decision, that those of us who are opposed or against a motion that passes, then it becomes our motion or our action. But this sense that we have to take votes and be unanimous is not the process that I think is part of the commission.
Are there any further comments on that?
This is Jim Anderson. Since I raised the comedy issue, I believe that it can be part of our process. I think it's valuable if we can strive for a consensus. The formality of a vote is one way to go, but the sense of making a common decision this way is equally valid from my point of view.
Thank you, Jim. I see Commissioner McIsaac has his hand up.
Yes, thank you, Madam Vice Chair. Let me just say I agree with Commissioner Thorburn. I certainly don't take offense at amendments that are made and fail, even when I make them and they fail. I think it's all in the spirit of a good, strong debate. I appreciate the fact that Commissioner Keogh has put this motion forward, and I said that I would support it before. I wanted to hear from everybody else. I can still support this motion as well. And but I, as a matter of for this vote or for future votes, I would hope that the public, if they hear a vote that's 7-2 or 8-1 or 5-4, that's a healthy thing, that the commission debates these things. And if people don't exactly agree, they should take a look back into the record as to why, as opposed to wonder what's going on there. I think we're all in the same general camp here, wanting to do something strong to reduce noise. That's what the legislature asked us to do. And we've considered everything and we're prepared to do so. Commissioner Thorburn also made a good point about what our standard is here. And if the target is to reduce by 80-90%, we rely on the advice from the science folks that these both do achieve that. That's an important factor, but it's also good for all of us to do our own judgments. As Commissioner Smith said, it's a matter of conscience here. It's all a gradation of policy acceptance of where you want to be. And so I would not take offense at someone making a motion to amend.
Yeah, Barbara?
Go ahead, Commissioner Smith.
In retrospect, from the sage wisdom of my esteemed colleagues, I will object to the motion.
So, Commissioner Smith, I think you have a choice. You can either vote no on the motion as presented, or you can make a motion to amend the motion.
I will make a motion to amend the motion to one vessel instead of three, with the other changes that Commissioner Keogh mentioned in there, but just from 3-1.
Thank you, Commissioner Smith. Joe Pinesco, if you're still on, just make sure that you you weigh in if we go astray parliamentarily. Is there a second to Commissioner Smith's motion to amend? Okay, just to get this over with, I'm going to second that motion. And we have on the table a motion to amend Commissioner Kehoe's motion to go from three vessels to one vessel, still 7 days a week during the option A time period, I believe. Does anybody have questions about that? That said, oh, Commissioner Linville, you have your hand up.
Okay, my question is, when are we going to get to the easy stuff on commission?
I know.
I mean, this changes my vote, so I can't support that.
So, Commissioner Linville, you're going to have a chance to vote against that, and then the underlying motion will still be available.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. I appreciate that.
Sure. Commissioner Kehoe. Bob?
Yes, thank you. Tech challenges here. Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. And I certainly take no offense to my esteemed colleague's amendment to the motion. As we all know, Commissioner Smith served on the ORCA Task Force. He was there for much of the discussion and deliberations, and his opinions are very well founded. And, but still, I think I kind of get back to my experience, you know, in the regulatory world, and that is that, you know, it's once you have these restrictions in place, it is very, very hard to reduce them. And so I think that the best way to go move forward is to you know, observe and as the department is committed to doing, report back, and then the commission then can take actions as necessary, such as reducing the number of vessels from three to one, and or reducing the number of days from seven to four. So I truly respect Commissioner Smith's amendment and his rationale, but I will not be voting in favor of the amendment.
You're not getting my Christmas card now, Bob.
There's a motion on the table to amend the motion by Commissioner Kehoe. I think we all understand it, but essentially it is to limit the number of vessels on the water under option A to one vessel. All in favor of the motion to amend, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, that's three. All opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, the noes have it. The amendment to amend fails. We are back to the original Kehoe motion, which was seconded by Commissioner Linville. Is there any further discussion before we vote on that? Seeing none, the motion on the table is to have a modified or an option A, which has limited time frame, three vessels on the water 7 days a week. All in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, Commissioner Smith is opposed to that. So the motion carries. I think we're done with that. Is there further comment?
Barbara, did you say yay or nay?
I said aye on that. I want to vote for something that, so yes.
Madam Vice Chair.
Go ahead, Commissioner McIsaac, then Commissioner Linville.
Yes, thank you. We had talked at the last meeting about some sort of a statement, and there are
Don, can we just hang on just a second before we get there to see if Molly has a question about the vote?
Sure, you bet.
Okay. Thank you for that. But I was actually going to ask about the letter myself, so thanks.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, so we had talked about a couple of things at the last meeting in terms of a statement. The staff has got some sort of a draft out that doesn't quite get there from my perspective relative to the private vessel situation. Now, what I had been thinking changes a little bit by the 7 day a week matter that just passed, but I do think it's important that we have a strong communication plan that really aggressively seeks the private whale watching vessels to voluntarily comply with the noise reduction regulations that we just adopted. And in the draft, it talks a little bit about some education things that include having the folks think about going out with a whale watching vessel if they really want to watch whales. And I'm not sure that's going to be viewed as a positive thing from folks who have private vessels that have in the past been doing this and might want to continue. We heard a little bit about an education thing, all of which is good, but it doesn't quite get to the point that I was hoping to make, and that was that the people would hear that the commission would really like the private vessels to lay off whale watching all the time that commercial whale watchers cannot be out there doing it. So based on the vote that just happened, I guess that's 9 months of the year. And so when those 9 months are out there, I kind of was hoping that the enforcement folks that are on the water or other folks might go even a little bit further than what's described in the education plan. And I don't know if you hand those boats a leaflet to explain it's closed to commercial whale watching reasons and here's why. In addition to maybe what might be at the boat launch and try to make a dent in their thinking about why this is a good thing for them to comply with as well. I know we did receive some written comment where I had said, you know, maybe if fully informed, the public that doesn't really know what's going on will try to do their best to comply. And the comment that we heard in writing was that, well, maybe that's not going to work quite so much. Maybe we can shame some of these folks into not going whale watching during those 9 months. Someone had made a joke about not letting anybody on the island serve them at the bar when they come to the taverns or the restaurants if they've been out during those 9 months whale watching. But at any rate, I think we need a strong communication plan that goes a little further than what's in the statement. I don't think that we ought to try to edit that online or do any wordsmithing, I don't know that it's urgent to get the statement out to this afternoon, for example, but I do think it's good to have a statement. We had talked about trying to do something on the Sentinel or Magnet roll. I think the statement does speak a little bit to that. We had talked about having a comprehensive adaptive management plan. That was brought up during the discussion of the motion of coming back in a year. I'm not sure that the adaptive management plan gets that specific now, but maybe it should, and maybe on some other things it should. And then we also talked about a limited entry license program. You know, we cannot do that right now. We don't have the authority. I know that there's an international issue here at stake, but I think it's good for the United States to lead by example on this. And so I'm wondering about in the statement saying that the commission would like to forward a request to the legislature for administrative authority to do a limited entry license program for commercial whale watching vessels. The details of which would be dealt with later if such a request is granted. But the whale watching pattern of whale watching boats involved did accelerate quite a bit. And who knows what will happen as we move through time. If we leave it up to adaptive management and things do get better and more whale watching boats want to get into the business, nothing would stop that. And as was spoken to last Tuesday, I guess, this has been an effective tool when we get to other fishery management matters. So I'll just put that out for discussion. I guess the two biggest things here are whether or not we would do a little bit stronger on our communication plan for private vessels, and in particular, specifically asking them to avoid resident killer whale watching 9 months of the year, just like the commercial whale watching vessels have to do. And then considering whether or not we put forward a request to the legislature for this limited entry option to be developed in the future.
Thank you, Don. Embedded in that was a thought that we might do the editing of this document at a future date. It'd be interesting to hear other people's ideas on that. But Commissioner Linville has her hand up.
Sorry, I just forgot to take it down.
Okay, Commissioner Linville, you did want to discuss this document. Did Don cover your points?
Yeah, I was actually had more of a general question of sort of the timing on when this might come out or how it would be presented. So yes, he covered.
Commissioner Kehoe.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Vice Chair. So I guess my question is for Nate and Julie about the idea of, allowing more commission input on the draft statement. You know, we just got it yesterday or haven't had a lot of time. Is it crucial is it not necessary that we come out with a statement today, along with the rule adoption? Just some thoughts on that.
Madam Vice Chair, Commissioner Kehoe, this is something, it's entirely within the commission's purview here on whether or not you want to pursue a statement. I think that the draft is out there. Folks will be taking a look at that. We'll probably be hearing comments. The suggested areas to incorporate by Commissioner McIsaac, we could take some time to do that. I guess I just wanted to offer on the limited entry perspective. I think that is something that we could put forward as perhaps as part of the biennial review of recommendations to the legislature. But that would require pretty substantial conversations with industry and others about that. But I think it's worth noting that that's an area, if the commission wants to include that, we can certainly include that in the statement. So I guess my recommendation would be that, considering there's a fair amount of wordsmithing that we may want to do, or the commission may want to do, that we be afforded the time to try to capture those edits, and then probably maybe bring this back at a January or February commission meeting, wherever it fits in within your agenda.
May I respond, Madam Vice Chair?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Nate. That's kind of what I was thinking. Let me just say right now that, I do think a statement is a very good idea. I agree with Commissioner McIsaac's suggestions, touching on the need for voluntary or the request for voluntary compliance among recreational vessels. I think that gets to Commissioner Linville's point, which he has expressed, I think, clearly, and I agree with it. And then I also, too, support the idea of a limited entry program for the reasons that I stated. So, thank you.
Thanks, Commissioner Kehoe. Commissioner Anderson.
Yes, I'm fine with the additional time to look this over and to make some edits. I raise the limited entry question. I'm okay in a general sense with the thought process. I don't want to go down a rabbit hole getting too prescriptive about that at this point, because I just don't think we've thought enough about it. Obviously, others have more experience with that and maybe see the the value more clearly than I do. So that's something that I'm thinking about.
Thanks, Jim. Commissioner Thorburn.
I support spending a little more time with this. I think it's a good start, but I really agree with the point that Commissioner McIsaac raised about attempting to get as much voluntary compliance from the private voting community with the rule change noise in general is the problem, and we need everyone to participate. So, I think making that very strong in our statement, I do support having a statement to accompany our decision. I also like that we acknowledge in it that watchable wildlife activities are something that are very supported by the commission, and we're trying to strike the balance of supporting that while protecting this very special species. I do have kind of a process question as edits proceed, or if there are other considerations as we look at this draft. How are we going to do that? because we can't with having everybody see what our thinking is.
That's a very good question, Kim. Let's hear from Commissioner Linville and then ask Joe Pinesco about the best platform to do group edits on a commission document. Commissioner Linville?
So very briefly, just to warn those in the know, I will need a lot of information regarding the limited entry idea. It's something I don't know anything about, so I will be seeking out my fellow commissioners who do understand it for some information on that.
Thank you, Molly. This coming up with commission statements from afar is very, very difficult, and we had this problem with our initial letter on the strategic plan. Joe, do you have any proposal for us about how to get our edits in and have them considered by everybody else without violating any of the acts that we're subject to?
Yes, the main concern is Open Public Meetings Act, and the commission cannot jointly debate basically edits to a collective document in private, because a collective debate on something like this does trigger OPMA requirements, and we need to be held and open. So the dividing line on that is, if any individual commissioner has suggested edits, they can send those suggested edits to Nate or Dr. Watson or whomever is coordinating receiving that input. But any further discussion amongst commissioners about those should happen at a meeting. So department staff could collect individual commissioner input and propose a synthesis at a meeting, at a OPMA meeting in front of the commissioners, or the department staff could take all of those proposed edits and just dump all of them in different colored red line in front of the full commission, saying Commissioner X requested this, Commissioner Y requested this. Okay, group, what do you think? And either of those would be acceptable, so long as the main discussion with all of the commissioners participating in it happens as part of the OPMA process.
Thank you, Joe. I saw Nate's hand come up and then flash off. Nate, did you have something you wanted to say?
Madam Vice Chair, Joe covered it, and I'm happy to just to offer some dates and kind of some next steps if that would be helpful. But I think Joe's suggestion works out great.
Thank you, Nate. Commissioner McIsaac.
Well, I think I'm just going to agree with the two previous folks if I have it right. So if commission and the staff has the benefit of all of this dialogue to go by here as well. So if they individually get suggestions from commissioners, I'm comfortable with leaving it up to the discretion of the director to get the proper blend on that, considering what's been said here, and avoid anything that would get anywhere near the area that our council has advised us not to go to.
Thank you, Don. So, Commissioner Thorburn, does that solve the question, at least in part?
Yeah, I just think it was important for us to have this discussion on process. So, yeah, I'm fine with it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so I think what I was going to say with consent, if anybody doesn't consent, please let us know that we're going to postpone adopting a commission statement at this time and work on editing it in the future, near future, though. Also, I want to let people know that we are losing Chair Carpenter at 11 o'clock sharp, so we are beginning to get pressed for time if we are to have an executive session this morning. But unless there's any further discussion on any of the items that we've just covered, I believe we should go to the next agenda item, which is future meeting planning.